This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of the free distribution of God's holy word. And for this hour, host, it is my great privilege to serve as host of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Dr. Elijah Coleridge, a gentleman born and bred in Africa, a man who is a very dear friend and trusted colleague, we will share conversation in the gospel on the other end of our examination yet again of the prophet Isaiah, the first chapter. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. Children have I reared and brought up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, offspring of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, they have forsaken the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are utterly estranged. Why will you still be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head. There is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds, they are not pressed out or bound up or softened with oil. Your country lies desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. In your very presence, foreigners devour your land. It is desolate as overthrown by foreigners. And the daughter of Zion is left like a booth in a vineyard, like a lodge in a cucumber field, parenthetically, no good thing, trust me, like a besieged city. If the Lord of hosts had not left us a few survivors, we should have become like Sodom and been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of well-fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required of you this trampling of my courts? Bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations. I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be eaten by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The prophet Isaiah, speaking a very hard, blunt, very raw word to the people of Israel. A similar word that the Spirit of the living God could be speaking to the church of Jesus Christ today. But for the Israelite of the ancient day, as so often throughout the years of the prophetic witness and the experience of the Israelites as a nation, hard times would beset. In large measure, certainly to be sure, life is not easy in the best of times, but surely also due to the fact that the Israelites were very, very quick, very, very want, and very profoundly inclined to turning away from and rejecting the core of God's word and law, for that matter of God's love and his compassion for his people. Other things would begin to take the place of Almighty God in their hearts. They would remain a very ostensibly and overtly religious people. If you were to say to the average Israelite that God, their God, was in his heart angry with them or perturbed in the very least, they might not know what you were talking about. All seemed so instinctive and natural to them. But from the vantage point of God, and God always has a vantage that is above the fray, he sees through, if you will, the fog of war. He sees with clarity, and his word is light. As his word is brought to bear upon a situation, we discover the truth of the matter. And the truth concerning the Israelites of the ancient day is that they had wandered away from God. They had begun to reject both God and his law, and they were beginning to throw away divine favor. It's a frightful reality. One sees a similar situation playing out amongst the various peoples known as the Church of Jesus Christ. And it need not matter whether you call yourself Catholic or Protestant or Orthodox. Amongst the Protestants, it need not matter whether you call yourself Baptist or Congregationalist, Methodist or Pentecostal. We must always confront the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is this, that the Word of God brings both life and condemnation. The Word of God speaks clarity to our lives. And we must measure ourselves in accordance with the teaching of the Word and the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. We know of the Israelites that it was asked of them in verse 5 of Isaiah 1, why will you be struck down? Why will you continue to rebel? For the whole head is sick and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but bruises and sores and raw wounds. They are not pressed out or bound up, or softened with oil. If you listen to this station to any degree, you listen in large measure to a political conversation. Weekends are given a greater degree of latitude for financial matters and health matters, and in this particular instance, matters pertaining to faith and to the Christian religion. But that being said, if you listen throughout the course and court of the week, you know, and it's a phrase that you will hear and recognize, you know that elections have consequences. Well, the presence and operative power of sin also has consequence. And the consequence for us today, as it was for the Israelites of yore, the consequence is this, that the favor of God and the presence of God become removed from us, and we come under its judgment. We come under its frank and forthright word, a very direct word. And the fact of the matter is, we discover experientially that because of our sin, we are a fractured people. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From top to bottom, head to toe, there is sickness. There is fracture in the human condition. It is the most fundamentally destructive aspect of sin's presence and power in our lives. The body is fractured and begins to take ill or to be beset by anything from ticks to the eye to the horrors of cancer. For myself, I know how traumatic cardiac issues can be. Our bodies grow old and they die. We also find fracture psychologically and emotionally, the head being disconnected from the heart being wounded or made cold and calloused, the mind, the brain, no longer being able to think as clearly as it should. Indeed, relationally, there is fracture. Fracture between men and women. Fracture amongst the races. fracture betwixt the generations, something I think that is besetting us today. All of this the direct result, please, of the presence of sin and enslavement as well, as you read in these later verses of Isaiah 1, at least the text we're looking at. We read that the country lies desolate, the cities are burning with fire, foreigners are devouring the land. Just think of what our American cities have endured over the past number of months, literally cities being set on fire. Think as well of undue foreign influence, not so much with the influx of immigration, it's a whole other issue, but with the increased ownership by foreigners of our beloved land, of land itself, and of our corporations, and its influence, its undue influence upon our academic institutions. It is a frightening reality. It is all, I believe, because as a people, we have begun to disconnect now and to be fractured from God Himself. All that is left for us, the card we still have to play, if I may put it in such terms, God has opened to us, if we cry out to Him, if we bow on bended knee and seek Him earnestly and with repentance, God, in His mercy and grace, will always respond, always open His arms to us afresh, always send to us afresh an outpouring of His Holy Spirit. I beg you, friends, and implore you, look now to the Lord, and may you have a fresh start in His presence through Jesus Christ. This is Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. My guest for the balance of our hour together is the Reverend Dr. Elijah Kodich. Dr. Kodich is a very dear, devout man, a true and esteemed servant and colleague in the gospel. And Dr. Kodich hails from, he is a born and bred African. Dr. Kodich, welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you, Pastor Bradley.
It is a joy, sir, to have you with us. I have long wanted you to join us on this broadcast. I know you have a story to share and a message to proclaim. Tell us first and foremost, Dr. Kodich, this will be of great intrigue to our audience. Tell us of your story. You were a born and bred African. I think I'm exotic being a born and bred Bostonian, but you are born and bred on the other side of the world. You knew not even who God was, let alone be a servant of the gospel. Tell us your story.
Wonderful. It is an honor to be on this radio station, and it is a blessing, and I want to thank God for this opportunity. Pastor, I grew up in the jungles in the eastern, northern part of Kenya, East Africa, but in Kenya, Rift Valley, northern side of Kenya, Africa. Then, well, if you have watched those stories of I Shouldn't Be Alive, you've seen documentaries, people swept by seas or people lost up at the mountains and covered by snow. And when they are recovered, the statement they make is, I shouldn't be alive. As sure I could say the same, I was born in a place called Gerio Valley, and I was a shepherd. My parents, we lived in a village in a Amazi Valley, but a school was non-existent. It was a foreign and never heard of, never seen a road, never seen an hospital, never seen a school, never seen a church. So what was the life there when there was completely nothing as we know as development as we know today? Well, we had goats and sheep and cows, and that was all that we did. The life went round allowing your animals, and so a drought could come, wipe all the animals, and you start again. For 15 years, I was a shepherd, typical shepherd, taking cows to the woods. And when I say I shouldn't be alive, an example, when I was following my sheep and goats in the woods, a huge cobra, a snake stood at my height. I'm not a tall man. I'm just a 5'3". And the snake was almost a little bit taller than me, maybe 6 feet, and smashed my face with saliva, and I went blind for more than 4 hours. I screamed at the top of my lungs, and somebody, another person who was far away, could hear somebody screaming, ran, picked me up. Of course, the thing in the valley they knew was when you are spread with this big cobra snake, the medicine was mother's milk. Any mother who was breastfeeding a child would help that person. You put the mother's milk in the eyes and just keep washing and keep washing. And for 4 hours, I gained my sight. That was the first instance where I say, I shouldn't be alive. And one instance again was, since we ate wild fruit in the woods and cassava, and there were wild cassavas, and also there were good ones. But for some reason, I ate a cassava, and that almost took my life. And they had actually had to take me out of the village and thinking I was dead. So for more than 12 hours, they just kept coming to see if I was still come back to life. And by the grace of God, I would, because I had passed out, and so I would open my eyes and I would see people gathered around me comforting my mother. And by the grace of God, I came back to life.
Well, Dr. Kolrich, if I may interject and put it this way, clearly, to my mind, as I listen to your story, God had a reason for you to continue to exist. I know for myself, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, I share this often with my people, and no doubt it's parlayed over the broadcast. 2 years ago, I nearly died. I underwent very successful surgery for a very difficult cardiac condition out at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. It was successful surgery, but upon my return home, my heart twice went into a horrible reaction. And I can't even begin to describe the symptoms. You've been very laudable in your description of what you were enduring, frightening as it all was. And with the second of my reactions, I knew in my heart that if God had not delivered me within the hour, I even cried out to God. And I said, Lord, if you do not deliver me from this now, I will not be alive within the hour. Within that very moment, God delivered me. And I mean that literally, to his glory. And I recall saying to him as the summer progressed, Lord, you have me alive for a reason. For whatever remains of my days, I want my life to be for you and for your purpose. And it's very evident that God had kept you alive for a very special purpose. Please continue sharing with us.
Well, it led that, to make the story short, of course, those are some of the things I realized. There had to be a reason why God kept me alive. So one day I was looking after, as a usual, it was a normal day, taking care of the sheep out in the fields. Along came somebody with a torn Bible, literally half of the New Testament. I don't think he had the Old Testament. And he called me and he said, do you know there is a Savior? God has sent his son, Jesus Christ. He gave me the Bible story. And my sheep was just grazing, and, you know, it was in the heat of the day. I had taken to the river to get water, and so we were just relaxing. The cows and the sheep were just relaxing, and so we sat under the shade. He gave me the full story in a brief, in the segment of the message. And amazing, because all my life I used to see mountains. We live in the valley, but the mountains are surrounding the valley. And I used to think, what is behind those mountains? And there was a sense in me, and it is the grace of God, that something was really been planted in my head. There had to be somebody, something more than this valley and more than life. So it was just a beginning, and I believe the Spirit of God led that person, and he asked me to go to the village where he lived that evening, and we could meet with the other few people, and he would actually give us the story. The following Sunday, he directed us to where they met under a tree and read the Bible. There were maybe 7-8 people under the tree, and that person actually acted as a pastor or as an evangelist in that village for a couple of months. Did not spend stay long. So that was the beginning. And then he again introduced me way across another village was a small school, people sitting under, children sitting under the tree, writing by their fingers and writing the dust on the ground. And that's how I started school. I went across to another village, and there was a teacher who was actually holding a cardboard and writing, and we would write on the dust using my finger and sitting on the stone and learning my ABCs at the age of 15. And that was the
Dr. Korich, if I may stop you at the age of 15, we're going to pick up on the other end of our break with the age of 16. God bless you. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Dr. Elijah Korich returning for another round of The Great Message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHD. Dr. Korich, before you pick up afresh with your testimony, it strikes me that you are sharing this as we record. We're recording for a broadcast on Saturday morning, but we record on Wednesday, March 17, which is St. Patrick's Day. And St. Patrick, it is believed, according to the legend, that he drove the snakes from the island of Ireland, that there are no snakes natural to the island because of the ministry and the power of the ministry of St. Patrick. One can only wish that he had been working also in Kenya and you would have been spared that horrible moment against the cobra. But that being said, God ordains things for a purpose, and all things are brought to a head in preparation for our salvation and for our life in Christ. And you have now begun a life in Christ, as you've been sharing. Would you pick up, please, where I needed to have you leave off?
Yes, at 16, as the gospel had just, you know, opened my eyes, I left the village. In sight of education, went the distance and worked with somebody who had a farm. And so I worked actually as still a shepherd, but helping in the farm. Meanwhile, going to school, and I educated myself literally, because they were paying probably an equivalent of less than 50 cents a semester. Well, ended up finished my 7 years of primary education, and going to high school, I could not afford as a shepherd. Of course, I did not have enough. So I went to a Bible institute. And for 4 years, I was taught by a British missionary and a Canadian missionary called Miss Baxter from Canada. And at Kapsabet Bible Institute for 4 years, I learned not only English, I learned, of course, theology. I learned to minister, to be a pastor. After 4 years, I went to be a pastor in the valley. And then shortly, I went to Scott Theological Seminary in Machagos, where I got my diploma in theology. And meanwhile, every holiday, I went to the valley to be a pastor. By then, by the time I finished my 9 years in biblical training, because 4 years at Kapsabet and another 3 years, and in between being a pastor, I was appointed the superintendent of over 65 churches. Now, here is a young man that grew up at the age of 15 without knowing how to read. And about 14 years later, here I was, a pastor and a superintendent of 65 churches. And there were other evangelists that also, now it has broadened. I'm no longer in the valley alone. I've gone to the greater region where I met some other evangelists, some other pastors, about 12 of them. So each pastor having more than average of 5 churches per Sunday. So how do you minister 5 churches? So we try our best, serving more than 6 churches, 7 churches. Some other pastors would have 4, someone would have 7, another one would have 8 as a minister. So that's why we learn to actually multiply churches by multiplying leaders and training local elders to do the ministry, because pastors were scarce. You could not be a pastor in 7 churches on one Sunday. So you had to multiply yourself by having other support.
Well, Pastor, if I may interject, it strikes me, you share with us the fact that you came into the acquaintance and the purview of a British missionary. And when it comes to missionary service, thank God for the Brits. I've done some work abroad. I've worked in India. I've worked in Russia. And I have found that wherever you go in service to Christ, you are invariably going to encounter a British missionary. As a matter of fact, a man who was very, very influential in Christian service over in Chennai, India, Dr. Samuels. He came from the Dalit class, the Untouchables, and he was led to faith and raised up in the faith by the great British missionary and missiologist Leslie Newbegin, not a household name perhaps for our audience, but amongst pastors and scholars, he will be a very well-known name, Leslie Newbegin. And this British missionary you encountered was instrumental in your life and in preparation of your ministry. You find yourself in ministry in Africa, learning and expanding and being used beautifully and most effectively by God. But sir, you find your way over to the United States, and I know that there is a very remarkable story behind this, one that rivals even your confrontation with the cobra in terms of the potential deadliness. Would you care to share?
Yes. Well, the second phase of my ministry, or the third phase of my ministry, by the grace of God, like the churches grew, and somehow the minister of parliament was kind of envious that, you know, was gaining popularity, and he said, if this guy will rise up and be and wanted to challenge me or influence the people, he's, you know, I was a danger, I was a threat. So he kind of said, do you want to go overseas? You want to go for further studies? But I had played when I was in the theological seminary in Machagos. I had still some, you know, playfully filling some cards about Trinity and Columbia Bible School and Washington. And also I did Houghton College in Buffalo, New York. And so that same person actually said, I will sponsor you to go overseas, go to America, go and study. And then when you come and help us. Well, he was doing something for God, but he was doing out of his jealousy and envious and being seeing me as a threat in the community, because I was gaining, you know, support of the leaders or of the communities.
And if
so
I'm not mistaken,
popular.
Yeah, Doctor, if I'm not mistaken, he had one of two options. He had the option of sending you to the States for further schooling, or he had the option of killing you.
Exactly.
And right,
fact,
right.
There have been some people that disappeared and never seen again. And so I would have been one of those who just would be disappeared and be found eaten by lions or, you know, animals in the forest.
And Dr. Coleridge, if that had happened, sir, you would never have made it to this program today.
And absolutely. And that's part of what I... If it were not by the grace of God, I wouldn't be alive. And even I could say, I shouldn't be alive. It is but the grace of God. Anything would have happened.
The grace of God, sir, on the one hand, and in concert with the purpose of God on the other. I have learned that nothing happens without God having a hand in it. If it's a vile, adversarial context, you know as well as I that God will take what is meant for our evil and he will turn it to our good. No evil, no weaponry that is formed shall in any way prosper against me. It's an extraordinary story. Dr. Korish, in under 1 minute, tell us, please, the actual transport across the seas. If I'm not mistaken, this gentleman put $50 in your hand, and that's what you had when you came to the States.
Yes, I landed in New York with only, literally by the time I was in New York, literally $5 in my pocket. And it was by the grace of God, the ticket had been bought to Buffalo. And so I, you know, stayed in New York the next morning, got in the plane to Buffalo. By the time I got in Buffalo, literally less than $5 in my pocket.
And in New York City, doctor, you know as well as I, $5 won't get you a cab out of JFK Airport. But what God can do with $5, I mean, our God has cattle on 1,000 hills, and as a friend of mine puts it, God has his own banks, and if he could take the loaves and the fishes and feed 5,000 people, he could take $5 and use you in his service. But more on this, please, on the other end of the break. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey and the Reverend Dr. Elijah Korich, originally of Africa, joining for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Dr. Korich, I wish, of course, as always, that we have more time than we do, but time is like water, and amongst other things, it's a precious commodity. With the few minutes we have left, I would love to ask you, I would love to hear more of how your ministry unfolded here in the States and of what you're doing now. But I'd like to shift with what little remains. Given your experience in Africa, something so very profoundly disparate from the experience of most, if not all, people here in the West, what do you think that you have what do you have to teach us? What would you like those of us here in the West, especially within the confines of the Western Church, what would you like us to learn? What would you want to see come forth as the direct result of your witness?
Well, as somebody has said, you know, many people, and we do sometimes like the comforts of spirituality, but we don't want the sacrifice and the risk and the challenge that come with actually following Christ. We don't want to leave our comfort zones, and because we have so much technology, and we have books, we have theology that has served us well. We have the know and the house, and there are books and manuals of every type. Like that, we don't have much time to seek the Lord because we are self-sufficient. We are self-contained. We have everything we need. And so there is very little time of crying and seeking God's face and crying for help and seeking God's wisdom.
I'm so pleased. Yeah, I'm so pleased you say this. About 3 weeks ago, I had a lovely guest with me, the Reverend Luminița Nichols. She hails originally from Romania in Eastern Europe. She was the product of a communist system. As a matter of fact, because of her conversion to the gospel, she was arrested by the authorities. She was put into a cell with several other women, and it was purely the grace of God. They took every other woman down into the bowels of that jail facility where those women were abused and, quite frankly, gang raped. For reasons germane to God's purpose and grace, they did not do the same to Luminitsa. And when I asked Luminitsa the same question I posed to you, she gave the same answer, that we need to be prepared as Christians here in the West to sacrifice and even if necessary to suffer. And you speak of seeking the face of God and crying out to him. My wife, one of the cardinal tenets, I'm blessed to be married to a woman of very deep and abiding conviction in the Lord. And one of the things the Spirit of God has laid upon her is that we simply need to take the time to quiet ourselves and wait, literally wait upon the Lord. And it's not something that is germane to or natural to a system, to the natures of those of us who have been nurtured here in the West. For all of our blessings, that kind of thing sadly is lost on us.
So true. So the Bible says, if my people are called by my name, God is saying, you know, I don't care about those millions of people who don't know me, but it's my people. That if I bring pestilence, if I bring diseases, and my people will humble themselves, seek my face, turn away from their evil, which is very difficult to humble ourselves, turn away from evil, because that is the ingredient of God's interfering or God's intervening in the affairs of humanity, humbling ourselves, repenting of our sin. Now, sometimes people say, I don't have any sin. Well, wait until you get close to God's face. Then you recognize that we are in need of forgiveness, humbling ourselves and seeking his face. And that's the ingredient.
You know, Doctor, when I worked at Logan Airport in Boston, I had the privilege of encountering two women. The one was a very renowned and famous, illustrious movie star from an earlier era, the Italian beauty, Sophia Loren. And the other was Mother Teresa. I met Mother Teresa. She actually bowed to me. And what struck me was, on the one hand, you had the physical, elegant beauty of Sophia Loren. Yes. And when, as a young man, I'm around that, I felt very, almost unclean, not considering myself to be particularly handsome, and frankly, not having at the time any meaningful confidence. So I felt like I was withering in her presence, although she was a lovely lady. When I met Mother Teresa, a woman of consummate spiritual beauty, I mean, there was such spiritual beauty within her, and coming forth from her, that there was literally, I speak literally, a kind of spiritual illumination coming forth from her body. I felt unclean again, because for all of my desire for God, and for all of my call from God, and for all of my preparation for ministry, I wasn't anywhere spiritually as of yet where I needed to be. And I'm speaking as a man of God. And so for the person who is not of God, for the person who has not yet come to know him or her, as C.S. Lewis has observed, it's going to be a frightening reality one day, but for the mercy and the grace of God. For God so loved the world. That's the beautiful thing of our message, that whatever we say, however hard a message it may be, it's because God loves us, and God loves the lost, and God loves the world, and is working a work of redemption and of restoration. Praise God.
Amen.
Dr. Kowrich, tell me, I know in what little time we have left, you have a walk coming up that relates directly to your ministry. Within 1 minute, please, share with us what this is about. Let the people know what's coming forth in the next week or two.
Yes, sir. Thousands of children are still drinking sickening water that you don't even want to touch with your hands, let alone drink to go to your mouth and your stomach and will make you sick. So we have Walk for Water, Walk for Life, which is a virtual walk. You can walk anywhere, anytime, beginning on the 20th of this month, and it will run until 28th. You can register through KSM, which is M2Ms, KSMministries.com, or you can look at the Bryn Mawr Racing Company, and you register, and you can walk anytime at your own leisure time. You can walk with your family, walk with your dog, what would you know, and support. We are trying this time. The children of Africa are getting sick, and they miss school, and they're desperate to get clean drinking water. So we are planning. I'm planning to take an environmentalist in June. We are going to expand the pipeline that we have built. We have helped already close to 30,000 children, and there are thousands of schools that still need our help to get clean drinking water.
Dr. Coleridge, you are a devoted man. In 10 seconds, would you close us with
Amen.
Prayer?
Our loving Father, thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, and thank you for this radio station, and thank you for the host, and thank you, O God, for the listeners, and thank you, O God, for salvation in Christ. We pray, Lord, that somebody will come to know the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We thank you for salvation, and thank you for bringing us together, even this through this platform. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Dr. Elijah Coleridge and Brad Lacey, we wish you the blessing
God
of
bless
God
you.
Through and through.
Thank
Take
you.
Care.
This program is a paid commercial announcement and in no way represents the views of WPHT or its management.